and was with the wild beasts, and angels ministered to him. Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Verse 12 says, immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and angels, the angels ministered to him. He was there in the wilderness. Today I want to use that for a subject, there in the wilderness. There in the wilderness. Father, thank you today for giving us opportunity to spend this time in your word. We have our ears, our eyes, and our hearts open to receive. Speak from heaven. Give us what we need to carry us through the next phase and the next time, the next span of our lives. We thank you that God, your word is powerful. Your word is rich. Your word is rich. It has everything we need in it to give us power and strength to make it through another day. So bless us now and pour out in this place. We receive with thanksgiving. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Thank you all so much, musicians. Praise the Lord. There in the wilderness. Everybody say, there in the wilderness. There's a place in God where nobody wants to go. That's because it's not a place of glitz, a place of glamour. It's not a place of glory. It's not a place of fame and fortune. It's not a place where you gather fans and followers. There are no conferences in this place. There are no conventions. There are no convocations in this place. In fact, this place that God wants us to go, it is in fact a secret place. It's a place of isolation. It's a place of consecration. It's a place of pruning and purging. It's a place of fasting and praying. It's a proving ground before you're ready for prime time. It's a place nobody wants to go. Nobody wants to go down to this place because it's a proving ground. And so many people are longing and seeking after prime time in the spirit, prime time in church, prime time. They want to be up front. They want to be out front. They want to be in charge. They want to be elevated in the spirit. But very seldom do you find somebody willing to go down to this place, this proving ground that you must go through before you're ready for prime time. Remember the days of Elijah and Elisha. I shared with the men yesterday in our men's group about how Elijah cast his mantle upon Elisha. But if you remember that Elijah didn't leave that mantle with Elisha. Elisha followed Elijah 10 whole years. He followed him and served him. He was serving him for 10 whole years before he was ready for prime time. And when it came time for Elijah to leave the scene, you know, Elijah was caught by a whirlwind, or caught rather by a chariot of fire. The angels came and they got him. He never did die. But the Bible says that Elisha followed Elijah closely. He followed him from a place called Gilgal. Everybody say Gilgal. Gilgal means a cutting away. It's a place of circumcision. It's a place where you go through that place, and it's a cutting away of things that are hindering you. Follow him from Gilgal to a place called Bethel. Everybody say Bethel. Bethel literally means the house of God. It's a place of communion with God. He left from Bethel and followed him. And on every turn, Elijah tried to get Elisha to stay and not follow. But Elisha was so desperate and so hungry for what was on Elijah's life. Elisha was willing to serve and go through that place of submission where he would then be in position to receive what God had for him. I'm talking to somebody in this place today. So they went from Gilgal, cutting away, to Bethel, the place of communion with God. They went from there to Jericho. Jericho was a place, its name means fragrance. It's a place of worship. Place of worship. A place of honoring and serving God. And Elijah said, stay here. And he said, no, man of God, I'm not going to stay here. I'm going to follow you wherever you go. And they finally end up at a place called Jordan. Jordan means the descender. It means literally to lay prostrate. It's a place of humility. I got one more river to cross. There's so many people who they want to be elevated, but they're not willing to be humbled. In other words, they want God to take them up, but they're not willing to go down first. Tell your neighbor, you got to go down first. Humility comes before honor. The Bible says humility comes before honor. And if you ever want God to promote you and elevate you and exalt you, God, he exalts those who are humble. And so he had to fall him down to a place called Jordan, which meant for him to lay prostrate, to be humbled before God. And so often I see people in the body of Christ who want to skip steps in the spirit. I'm talking to somebody. But there's a process for promotion. Who am I talking to? Tell your neighbor, there's a process for promotion. You can't just skip steps in the spirit. And we're in a day and age of people, these modern day neo-Christians who get excited and zealous about their Christianity and their new walk and even what they perceive as their call. And they just get so excited, they want to skip steps. They want to go from A to Z in one jump. Don't understand, you got to go from A to B to C to D. You got to go through steps. You got to go through levels. You got to go through changes. You got to go through Gilgal, and you got to go through Bethel, and you got to go through Jericho, and you got to go through Jordan. Elisha didn't just become the major prophet of Israel because a mantle was thrown on him. He had to go through a proving ground to prove that he was ready to handle the responsibility. I preached last Sunday, how much more can you handle? And before God promotes you, you got to make sure your character is developed to handle the magnitude, the weight, the responsibility of the place you perceive you're supposed to be going. Can I talk in this place today? There's a process for promotion, and that process involves, listen to this, a place or a space of time called the wilderness. You see how excited y'all got about the wilderness? Everybody gets excited about the promised land. Nobody gets excited about the wilderness. Everybody gets excited about Galilee, but nobody gets excited about the wilderness. And I understand, because the wilderness, it's not a nice place, but it's a necessary place. Help me preach. Tell your neighbor, it's not a nice place, but it's necessary. It's not this regal royal place, but it's a required place. And anybody God's ever going to use to do great things in the earth, they must be willing to go through their wilderness. It's a place or a space in time. And all of us can probably say we've been through some form or some manner of a wilderness experience in our lives. Every biblical hero endured a wilderness experience, including Jesus, including Jesus, including Jesus. And the servant is not greater than his master. And if Jesus had to endure a wilderness experience, what you think gives you the right or the privilege that if you're going to be used by God, that you don't have to go through your wilderness experience? Thank you, Jesus. Jesus went through it, and you and I have to go through our wilderness experience. But later on, here's the benefit. Everybody say, here's the benefit. When people ask you down the road how you learned to hear God, how you learned to trust God, where did you get all the revelation that you got about the kingdom of God, where is it that you really began to grow in your faith, you'll be able to say it was there. Because you don't learn this in seminary school. You don't even learn this in Sunday school. You don't learn this in Bible school. You don't learn this in ground school. You don't learn this in flight school. You learn facts. But there's some things you catch by revelation, and some things you learn by experience. And the experience you need need is only found there. And while you want to go through ground school and flight school and jump into the pulpit, ground school, flight school, and jump, and all of a sudden now you're ready to be a pastor. You can say, oh, hold up. All you got was facts. But baby, you're going to get your experience the same way I got my experience. You're going to develop your fortitude, because you don't get fortitude from school. You get fortitude, you get strength when you've gone through the fire and the flood, when you've gone through hell and hot water, when you've gone through troubles and trials, and y'all ain't talking to me, and tribulations, and you come through and say, thank God I made it. I made it through. I'm stronger. I'm wiser. I'm better, so much better. And I have inside me now what I need to make it through. Because what you don't realize is when you get elevated, when you get promoted, you're going to face devils that you ain't never seen before. You're going to face stuff you ain't never seen before. Why are you so anxious to be elevated? Why are you so anxious to be exalted? Why are you so anxious for God to use you, baby? You really ready for God to use you? Because if you become one of God's weapons, if you become one of God's tools, you become number one on the devil's hit list. And I'm not sure you're ready just because you've been to ground school and flight school and Sunday school and you laid hands on one person and you prayed at one prayer meeting. Baby, you got to go through something. Faith that has not been tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. I'm gonna come over here. A faith that has not been tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. And if you're not willing to ever endure something, to live in a wilderness, then you're not ready for prime time. Prime time is going to eat your lunch. The devil's going to show up with a skirt or a suit and tie, and he's going to have your lunch. He's going to show up and make offers. You remember after the wilderness, Jesus Christ was tested in that wilderness. The devil took him up and showed him things, and Jesus was able to stand because he was willing to stay in the wilderness. Let me move on. Mark chapter 1, verse 10. Mark 1, verse 10. After this talks about in the days Jesus was being baptized, right, by John. Verse 10 says, and immediately, thank you, Jesus. And immediately, coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting with, and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. You are my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. So at his baptism, he is being called into ministry, called to fulfill his divine purpose. Two things happen at the baptism that are so important. Number one, Jesus had an open vision. Everybody say an open vision. The Bible says, coming from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Now, you got to understand something, that he saw the heavens open. And later on, we can see that John the Baptist confirmed Jesus' calling. Watch this. John the Baptist confirmed his calling. Everybody say he confirmed his calling. This is critical right here. Because so many people, so many believers want to jump into ministry and have never had human confirmation. I'm going to preach it. People today, for some reason, think that they don't need man's confirmation. It's this new modern neo-Christianity, super spiritual, hyper spiritual attitude that these demon deceived Christians have, that God called me. I don't need any man to confirm me. But if you walk through God's scriptures, God always uses a man to confirm someone's calling. And God didn't change just because the church got crazy. Y'all don't like this here. Moses laid hands on Joshua. God called Joshua, but Moses, God told Moses, I need you to lay your hands. That's a confirmation. Samuel anointed Saul. God called Saul to be king, but he had Samuel go anoint him. God said, I found David a man after my own heart, but he sent Samuel to go anoint him. Y'all quiet on this side here. God always uses a man of God to confirm the calling on your life. I'm going to quit and go home if y'all can't take it. And we got these crazy, spazzed out Christians. I'm going to just say this. I'm going to get in trouble. I know I'm going to get in trouble. Especially these out of order women. Who don't, for some crazy reason, don't think they need anybody to confirm them because they think men are trying to hold them back. Ain't no man trying to hold you back. But you shouldn't be the only one who knows God called you. Y'all quiet in this Presbyterian church. Y'all quiet in this Presbyterian church. You better not be the only one who knows God called you. Look at this in John chapter 1, 32 through 34. Let's give this. John 1, 32 through 34. Listen to what it says. It says, and John bore witness saying, I saw. John bore witness saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptized with the Holy Spirit. So God had given John a foreknowledge, a forewarning on how to identify the one. So Jesus Christ didn't just launch into ministry on his own. God used John the Baptist to confirm his calling. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Verse 34, and I have seen and testified. Somebody ought to be able to testify that there's an anointing on your life. There's a calling on your life. There's a mandate on your life. God's hand is on your life. You can't just run out there by yourself on your own or willy-nilly. Oh, I got a calling. I got an anointing. No, baby, you got nothing. Till God puts it in the heart of some man or woman of God to confirm you that you got a calling. What about Apostle Paul? He got saved and started preaching. God used men to confirm Paul's apostleship. Acts 13, verses 1 through 3. Can I ride out today? In Acts 13, verses 1 through 3, watch what this says here. Now, in the church that was at Antioch, there were who? What kind of prophets? Certain. So not just any prophets. I'm going to stay over here. Not just any prophets. Certain prophets. Why would the Holy Ghost put the word certain in there? So you know, you don't just let anybody lay hands on you and tell you, I see a calling of God on your life. I think God's got a calling in your life. No, certain prophets. You went and got your license online, or you went and got found somebody who is out of order, just like you want to be out of order, and they told you you got a calling. That ain't the prophet God talking about. Certain prophets and teachers. Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them. Now notice, God said, I've already called them. But he tells these certain prophets to to separate them. If God already called them, why would God need men to separate them? Because he always confirms through human hands. Y'all don't like it. Some of y'all looking at me kind of. I might need security on this side right here. Y'all watch them on this side. They're looking at me funny on this side. Because God always, I said always, always, always confirms through human hands. And if you never allow and wait on human hands to confirm, you will be out of order in a hurry. Separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them. Verse 3. Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them. Didn't God say I already called them?
Yes.
But they couldn't go away. They couldn't leave until. Are y'all with me? So if and when, if God calls you, he'll confirm it through qualified men of God. Y'all can take a picture of it, snap it, write it down, memorize it. If God calls you, he'll confirm it through qualified. Qualified. Not that guy, he got a YouTube channel and he's sleeping around and you like. No, qualified. Not that girl, she ain't been confirmed by nobody herself, but now she gonna confirm you and he gonna confirm you and so, no. If God, because many are called and few are chosen. If God calls you, he'll confirm it through qualified men of God. I wish I got an amen on that. So I'm not going to finish. So let me just kind of take my time here. I got 3 pages. I got so enraptured with this. I got 3 pages. I usually preach on from 1 page and notes, but I got 3 pages. And y'all got to forgive me. So Jesus had an open vision, but secondly, back in Mark chapter 1, verse 11 tells us a voice came from heaven. You are my beloved son, whom I'm well pleased. He heard an audible voice. He heard an audible voice. Everybody say an audible voice. Now catch this. This is important, Pastor. God's voice wasn't audible to everybody. John in the spirit saw the dove, but the voice wasn't evident to everybody. Because how do we know? What the voice said, you are my beloved son. That voice comes from heaven and said, you are my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. If that voice had been audible to everybody, everybody would have immediately believed on him. They would have immediately believed on him and followed him. If all of a sudden we're sitting here and we see heaven open, and all of a sudden we hear a voice from heaven saying, Pauline is the next president of the United States, we would immediately begin to campaign and cast our votes. Forget them other scrubs. We heard the voice of God. So we know then that this voice was not audible to everyone. But he didn't need the voice to be audible to everyone. Because not everyone was about to go into the wilderness. Jesus heard the voice. Somebody say, I heard the voice. And what he heard would sustain him through the next phase of his life. You're my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Praise God. I'm about to hit the circuit now. I've been anointed and called out by God. But the next phase of his life was not the circuit. The next phase of his life was the wilderness. And this voice wasn't just a voice to make him feel good, but it was a voice to put something in his spirit that he would need to sustain him in his wilderness. Ladies and gentlemen, my question for you is, what has God said to you? No. Not what you thought of. What has God? Because I've had enough of folk telling me, well, you know, the God said and what the Lord told me. And I sense the Lord, shut up. Number one, God's never going to tell you anything opposite scripture. And he's never going to tell you anything opposite order. So you ain't heard from God. You heard from God. And God, he don't change his mind every 2 days. No. Bishop Vaughn said, you can't be successful doing what God did, doing what God told you to do. You got to do what God's telling you to do. Yes, that's true. But he don't tell you something different tomorrow than he told you today. He don't go back and forth. And God is not bipolar. God is not. He's moving linear. He has linear movement. Successive movement. Not back and forth. That's called double-minded. What has God said to you? Because his words won't fail. His words will give you the strength to make it through the challenges in your life. His word, not my word, not pastor's word. Not your mom and your cousin word, or your prayer partner's word, not your best friend's word, but and not the word you thought of, but his word will give you the strength to make it through the challenge of your life. Psalm 119, listen to this. Psalm 119, verse 49 and 50 says this: remember the word to your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. Give me that same verse, please, in the Living Bible. Do y'all have that? Psalm 119, verse 49 to 50 in the Living Bible. I hope I gave that to you. Y'all, you just find it. If you didn't, I need you to hear that. Psalm 119, verse 49 to 50 in the Living Bible. I'll wait because you got to get it. I apologize. Psalm 119, verse 49 to 50 in the Living Bible. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Ask your neighbor, are you getting this today? Are you getting this? Tell him you got to go through that wilderness. How you going to grow is there in the wilderness. How you going to develop? How you going to mature is there in the wilderness. Look at this. Psalm 119, verse 49 and 50 in the Living Bible. It says, it's never forget your promises to me, your servant, for they are my only hope. They give me strength. Neighbor, in the wilderness, you're going to have some trouble. Your words, your promises, they give me strength in all my troubles. How they refresh and revive me. Whenever you start feeling overwhelmed, it's the word you stand on. Whenever you start feeling overtaken, it's the word you got to stand on. And can I add this in? Whenever you start feeling overwhelmed and overtaken, you got to praise God for what he told you. You missed it right there. I said when you're going through your trouble, you got to think back on what God told you. Because what he told you was designed to strengthen you in the storm that was coming into your life. Thank you, Holy Ghost. In the fourth chapter of Mark, when Jesus told the disciples, let us pass over to the other side, what happened? A storm came. Yes. And they freaked out. Yes. And when they woke him up, he calmed the storm. He wanted to know, why did y'all freak out? I said, let us pass over to the other side. When I said, let us pass over to the other side, that was my word that we were going to make it to the other side. So why in the world are you freaking out about this storm? See, the word that you get is the word that will sustain you. That's why you got to make sure it's actually the word from the Lord and not a word you conjured up, not a word you thought up, not a word you got off TikTok, not a word you got off Twitter. It's a word that you got from God himself. Over in Romans chapter 4, verse 20 and 21, Romans 4, verse 20 and 21 says, Abraham didn't waver at the promise of God through unbelief. But Abraham was strengthened in faith He was strengthening faith, giving glory to God. What is he doing? He's praising God for the promise. Y'all missed that. He's praising God for the promise. Verse 21, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. He was also able. So when you're going through the wilderness, it's the word God gave you before you went in that's going to strengthen and sustain you until you come out. Y'all better catch that. The word he gave you before you went in is what's going to strengthen and sustain you until you come out. Tell your neighbor, you are coming out. Oh, no, I'm going through. No, you're coming out. Tell somebody behind you. I know you're going through, but you're coming out at the same time. I feel like I'm going through. No, you're coming out. As long as you don't quit, don't die in the wilderness. Don't lay down. Don't stop there. Don't stop there. No, if you're going through, you're also coming out. The wilderness is not your destination. It's a layover. It's a layover. It's temporary. It's a proving ground for your prime time. And somebody better grab that. I don't know who in this place got that, but you're about to go prime time. Oh, God. I said you're about to go prime time. We don't feel like it because you're in the proving ground right now. You're about to go big time. It don't feel like it, but because you're in your wilderness right now. You're in the proving ground time right now. You're going through, but you're coming out. And you're going to come out better than when you went in. Go back to our text. It would have been great for Jesus to go from being baptized, having an open vision, and hearing an audible voice right into preaching the gospel. Would have been great. It would have been exciting to go from ground school to flight school to preaching the gospel all over the world. But he went from there to the wilderness. Everybody say the wilderness. The wilderness. Glory to God. In the wilderness, there was no open vision. In the wilderness, there was no audible voice. Oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. How many of y'all have come to a place in time or a space in time where you feel like, God, I can't hear you? I got some hands over here. God, I feel like I don't see you. I'm here to tell you that's okay because you heard him. And you saw something before. But in the wilderness, it's the testing time. The wilderness is the proving time where you prove you got what you heard. You prove you received what you saw. Y'all ain't saying nothing to me. I said the wilderness is where you prove that you got what you heard. And that you received what you saw. So it's okay if you're in a place that feels like God is quiet. He's not saying anything. It's okay. He already said something. Remember? Run in the strength of that word. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. There was nothing in the wilderness that was spectacular. Nothing about this situation. Look at verse 12. He had an open vision. Powerful. Spectacular. He had heard an audible voice. Powerful. Spectacular. But when he came to the wilderness, it just said the Spirit drove him. Would have been great if the Spirit had made a big open display and open announcement and told everybody, okay, it's time for Jesus to go into the wilderness. But he's going to be just fine. But there was nothing. The Spirit drove him. Not from the outside, from the inside. It's the same Holy Ghost that he had heard before. But now on the inside, he's hearing the Holy Ghost. Y'all better grab a hold of this here. Because so many times we can get so caught up. Let me witness for myself. Caught up in wanting to hear the big booming voice of God to give me an instruction. But I've had to learn that God doesn't always answer or talk with a big booming voice. Sometimes it's just a leading. The Spirit is leading me to do something. Sometimes it's just an inner witness. It's just the Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Just a witness on the inside. Sometimes it's just an impression. The Holy Ghost is impressing upon me to do something. You find yourself in line in a checkout line in the grocery store, and you all of a sudden take care of somebody's groceries. You didn't hear an audible voice over the speaker, take care of their groceries. You had something on the inside. You turn down a road that you don't normally turn down and find out later there was a big accident on the road you would have gone down. You didn't hear God's audible voice, don't go down that road. No, you felt some, just turn here. Matthew 4 verse 1, same story. Says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness. He was led up by the Spirit. No big voice. No open vision, nothing spectacular, just led up. Our verse here in Mark 1, verse 12 says, immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. Same Spirit that descended upon him like a dove. Same voice he heard, you're my beloved son. And everybody say, that's God. But all of a sudden, when you sense his leading into the wilderness, you say, that ain't God. Y'all. I'm talking to you. Oh, it was God when it was big booming voice. You're my beloved son. I'm well pleased. And you're the man. You're it. But when you hear, go to the wilderness. No, that can't be God. Who am I talking to in this place today? But Jesus knew he heard the voice of the Spirit. It was the same voice. He knew he heard right. People will say, I'm called. I'm called of God. And the voice of God will say, submit to your leadership. That can't be God. But I'm anointed. And he'll say, serve where you are. That can't be God. But God is elevating me. He'll say, sit down and learn. That can't be God. I'm too anointed for that. I'm too called for that. I've got too much power for that. I'm not supposed to sit and learn and receive and humble myself and grow and develop. No, God's put a call on my life. But I want to tell you that when you hear God say, sit down and learn, when you hear God say, serve, when you hear God say, go through this situation, when you hear him say, submit, I want to tell you, you heard right. Tell your neighbor, yes, you heard right. Tell somebody else, yes, you heard right. You don't want to hear it. You don't want to hear it, but you heard right. You don't want to submit, but you heard right. You don't want to lay down and lay down your life, but you heard right. You don't want to serve just to serve, but you heard right. The same voice that's telling you you called is the same voice will tell you now go serve 10 years. But I got a mantle on me. Yes, so did Elisha, but he had to go serve. But I'm anointed to be King David, but he had to go serve 10 years. He had to go serve a man who tried to kill him with this directive from God. Don't touch my anointed. No, God, I'm the one anointed. No, he's still my anointed. Take your hands and your mouth off my anointed. Good God Almighty. Tell your neighbor, you heard right. You heard right. That's God telling you to submit. That's God telling you to serve. That's God telling you to sit right there where you are. You must go through the wilderness. Y'all give me a few more minutes. I don't know how long I've been up. You must go through the wilderness before you get to Galilee. Notice in verse 14, Mark 1:14, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee. But listen to me, you must go through the wilderness before you get to Galilee. Galilee, Elder Baker, check this out. Galilee literally means, you look it up in the Greek, it literally means circuit. It's one word. It means circuit. And right now, the biggest thing everybody wants to do when they get in preaching, get in, got some calling, they want to get on the circuit. They want to be preaching everywhere. Want to be known everywhere. Want to be the prayer warrior everywhere. Want to be the one everybody knows. Want to be the one everybody knows God uses. Everybody's longing to be on the circuit, to be used by God. But notice Jesus Christ didn't go to the circuit before he went through the wilderness. Y'all quiet in this Baptist church here, boy. I love it. 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 Everybody's hiding. Everybody's excited. Everybody's zealous about being used by God. But nobody's excited about being proven in their faith. Tell your neighbor, you must go through the wilderness before you get to Galilee. See, everybody wants a circuit, but nobody wants the wilderness. And I understand. Now listen to this. Y'all okay?
Yes.
This word wilderness comes from the Greek word eremos. 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 Watch what it means here. Put it up, please. Wilderness. Wilderness. Thank you. It means solitary. Lonely. Desolate. Uninhabited. Sounds inviting, don't it? This is where you want to book your next Airbnb, isn't it? Solitary, lonely, desolate, uninhabited. When used of places, it means a desert, deserted places, lonely regions. Use of persons, yes, persons, it means deserted by others. You see why you're not excited about the wilderness? Because you love people, or really love the approval and acceptance of people. Love the praise of people so much. So you're not willing to go into a lonely place, a solitary place, a desolate place, an uninhabited place. You're not willing to be deserted by others. Look at what it says, deprived of the aid and protection of others. You've been leaning on the government and been leaning on your job and been leaning on your mom and been leaning on other folks so long, and you're not willing to go through a place of wilderness, being cut off from all help and all support and all aid and all protection of everybody else. Watch this, especially of friends, acquaintances, and your kindred, your family. Everybody say the wilderness.
The wilderness.
It's the wilderness. And the Spirit drove him to the wilderness. A solitary place. A lonely place. Y'all not saying nothing. A desolate, uninhabited place. To be deserted by others. Deprived of aid and protection of others. Now I want you to take note of something. Can I show you something here?
Yes.
Look at Mark 1, 3, and 4. Because I want you to see this here. I mean, the wilderness already doesn't sound good, but watch this. Mark 1, verse 3 and 4. This is John talking, or about John rather. The voice of one crying in the
wilderness.
Prepare the way of the Lord, makes the path straight, make his path straight. Verse 4, watch this, watch this, watch this. John came baptizing
in
the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. So notice that John was baptizing and preaching in the wilderness. So where did Jesus then get baptized?
In the wilderness. Wow.
Y'all better grab a hold of that. That means he got baptized in the wilderness. This is going to make sense to you here in a minute. So then when we look at Mark 1 verse 12, and it says, immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. What, he already there? Yes. But the Holy Spirit is saying, I need you to go deeper. He's already in the wilderness, but he's saying, for what I need to do, there's still too many folk around. I need you to go a little further. I need you to be thrust deeper into a more remote place, a more lonely place, a more solitary place, a more uninhabited place, a place where nobody knows you and nobody calling your name and nobody's coming to see about you and nobody calling you and nobody texting you and nobody tweeting you and nobody emailing you and you ain't getting nothing from nobody. Nobody's visiting you. See y'all excited about this, aren't you? You excited. God, I'm already in the wilderness. Can I tell you something? The moment you become a Christian, you already in the wilderness to the world. What's the root word of wilderness? Wild. When you become a Christian, you already wild to the world. Got six of y'all. I said, when you become a Christian, let me say this, you ought to be wild to the world. But when you say, God, I want to be used. I sense a calling of God on my life. He's going to send you deeper. I can't get no help over here. He's going to send you deeper into the wild. So that not only are you now wild to the world, you become wild to the church. I can't get no help. Anybody who dares to step out and serve God, who dares to become the fullness of what God called him to be, you won't just be wild to the world. You become wild, different, peculiar, strange, even to the church. Because most folk in church are not willing to go deeper into the wild. They're happy about being baptized, but don't have any unction to go deeper. They're happy being around because you know where they were baptized. They having good church around there. They having church. John's having church all day, every day. And most folk willing to come and have a praise break. I'll come for your little praise break. I'll dance. I'll clap. I'll shout. I might even run. But if you want me to go deeper, Lord, I ain't with that. I ain't. I'm already wild to my friends. I'm already wild to my family. I don't know if I'm willing to become wild to the church folk. What does it mean to be wild to the church folk? That means when church folk don't understand your prayer life and your fasting and your praise and your worship. And now I don't want to go to the movies with y'all. No, I don't want to go hang out with y'all and doing the stuff that y'all do. I thank you, Lord, because I feel a tugging in my spirit to go deeper in God. I wish I had 10 folk who say, I want to go deeper in God. Anybody here ready to go deeper in God? Ready to go somewhere your friends are not willing to go? Ready to go somewhere your family not willing to go? Ready to go somewhere your church members aren't willing to go? No, I'm ready to go deeper. Because that's what it's going to take to go higher in God. I've got to first be willing to go deeper. Somebody say deeper.
Deeper.
Come on, somebody shout deeper.
Deeper.
Matter of fact, say, Lord, take me deeper.
Lord, take me deeper.
Say, Lord, I'm willing to go deeper.
Lord, to go deeper.
Notice this wilderness. He's been driven into this wilderness. That's where he's going to find out what he's made of. Wasn't at the baptism. Wasn't when he heard the open, heard the audible voice. Wasn't when he saw the open vision. He's going to really find out his fiber. Find out his metal when he's in the wilderness. You don't know the quality of the tea until you put the tea bag in the hot water. You don't know its flavor. You don't know its strength. You don't know its power until it gets in hot water. And God's got to allow sometimes you and me to get in some hot water situations. And that's where you find out who you are. That's where you find out what you have. That's where you find out what you're made of. That you're not just some iced tea to help you chill, but a warm tea, a hot tea that'll soothe your soul. Y'all got a few more minutes? Let me give you a little bit of this here. Verse 13. We found out immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. Notice this. And he was there. And he was there in the wilderness. How long?
40 days.
The number 40 generally symbolizes a testing, trial, or probation period. I'll read it again. Throughout scripture, you'll see 40 over and over and over again. Moses went up on the mountain 40 days. Children of Israel in the wilderness 40 years. Elijah had to run in the strength of that food, the angel food, for 40 days. 40 generally represents a testing, trial, or probation period. A probation period. It represents the completion of a cycle or level. The completion of a cycle or level. Some folk in church never finish probation. Because when the storm got too tough, when the road got too rough, they abandoned ship. When the trial got to be too heavy, they abandoned ship. When they didn't get a chance to preach quick enough, they abandoned ship. When they didn't get picked for the prayer team quick enough, they abandoned ship. When they didn't get their marquee quickly enough, and didn't realize they were in probation period from God. Surely you all have taken jobs. And when you take your job, they tell you first have a probationary period. 90 days. Whatever length that company gives, where before we give you permanent employment, before we release benefits to you, we want to find out, are you our type? Are you cut out for this kind of work? Can you handle the responsibility of being in this kind of job? Oh, come on now. Come on now. Some of y'all do that when you're dating. Y'all better shut me down now. When you're dating, you go through a probationary period. I gotta watch you for a minute before I go out and buy a ring on the first day. I want to find out. Some folks spend 7 years in probation and dating, waiting to be married. Some of y'all women still on probation. But it's a proving time. It's a proving time. It's amazing to me how many people I see in the body of Christ, and you hear this stuff on YouTube and all of your social media all the time. All they talk about is shifting levels in the spirit. I'm about to shift. That's the key word in the body of Christ today. Shift. I'm about to shift to a new level. I'm about to shift to a new dimension. But you're not qualified to shift to a new level until you've finished the level you're on, until you've proven yourself in the current cycle you're on. It's dangerous. It's dangerous to shift when God didn't shift you. But Jesus stayed in the wilderness because that's where the Spirit led him. He stayed there in all the situations because the Spirit led him there. Y'all got this? Give me a couple more minutes. Thank you, Lord. The wilderness is a place and a time of separation unto God. It's where you learn to depend on the Lord for everything. Everybody say the wilderness. It's where you learn to depend on the Lord for strength. And for peace. For your fellowship. For your companionship. Remember, the wilderness is uninhabited. It's lonely. It's solitary. It's desolate. You're separated from folk. And most people in the body of Christ are not willing to go through that separation from folk. I need companionship so bad. I need friends so bad. I need to hang out so badly that I'm not willing to go through this wilderness. And you don't realize the wilderness is temporary. It's just a proving time. It's a time you learn that Jesus Christ is your friend. And that he's a friend who will stick closer than any brother. In the wilderness, you learn about true love. Because there's nobody around. I got to be settled in the love of God. I learn what protection is. Because I'm out there by myself. I learn what it is to rest my hopes on Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, it's in the wilderness that you discover that if you have Jesus, you have all you need. Tell your neighbor, if you have Jesus, you have all you need. But you don't learn that until you go deep into the wilderness. So many people fail in ministry and life because they've never allowed the Spirit to lead them into a wilderness. They've never learned how to be alone and not be lonely. Because you're so glued to people, you never learn how to be alone with God and not be lonely. That's why we have what the Bible calls so many busybody women. I'm talking about, this is in the Bible. The Bible calls it busybody women who are going from house to house, busybodies, gossiping. And the Bible tells you to learn how to mind your own business and stay at home. Stay at home. You need to be at everybody's house. It's too much laundry and cleaning and children and husband. Stuff to do anyway than to be in busybodies at everybody's house. In everybody's business, sit your tail down and learn to be with Jesus alone, but not lonely. I'm going to tell you, if you're single and you learn how to be with Jesus, you won't be lonely. You won't need to be making no booty calls yourself because I'm alone, baby, but I'm not lonely. And when bro man call you at 2 o'clock in the morning, he say, oh, hey, how you feeling? You lonely? No, baby, I'm alone, but I'm not lonely. I dare you to tell somebody, I may be alone, but I'm never lonely. Long as I got King Jesus. I really don't need nobody else. I'm satisfied with Jesus alone. Just singing the old days. I'm so satisfied with my Savior. He means more to me than anything. Anything this world could ever offer. It's in the wilderness I learned. Watch this. I learned to be helpless but not hopeless. Helpless, yes. Well, I can't help myself. Well, I learned, I'm just, Lord, I'm depending. Jesus, we're depending on you. Jesus, we're depending on you. Jesus, we're depending on you. We're depending on you to see us through. I've learned how to lean and depend. Help me, somebody. On Jesus. He's my friend and he's my God. I found out that if I trust him, he will provide. But if I'm so dependent on everybody else and what they can do for me, I've never allowed myself to become helpless. And once I come through the wilderness, Pastor, I've learned, even if I get out there and I'm on prime time, that's why Paul can say, I've learned how to be abased. And I've learned how to abound. I've learned how to be hungry. And I've learned how to be full. I've learned how to have everything. And I've learned how to suffer need. He said, I can do all things. Somebody shout in this place, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You learn that in the wilderness. I may be helpless, but I'm not hopeless, baby. Long as I got King Jesus, I know somehow, I know some way I'm gonna make it. No matter what the test, no matter what comes my way, I know I'm gonna make it with Jesus on my side. Things will work out right. I know I'm gonna make it. Somebody holler in this place one time. In the wilderness, I learned I can be alone and not lonely. I can be helpless but not hopeless. I can be defenseless but not defeated. No weapon formed against me shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against me in judgment, I shall condemn. I don't learn that when I got everybody around me. I learn that when I'm going through hell and high water, when I'm going through the fire and the flood, when ain't nobody around me, when nobody has my back but Jesus. I learn I may be defenseless, but I'll never be defeated, because God is the greatest power. I will never be defeated. Tell your neighbor, you will never be defeated. Long as you got King Jesus on your side, you will never, ever, never, ever, never, never, never be defeated. Somebody say, they're in the wilderness. They're in the wilderness. It's in the wilderness I learned I can be troubled on every side, yet not distressed. I learn I can be perplexed, but not in despair. In the wilderness, I learn I can be persecuted, but not forsaken. I learned in the wilderness how to be cast down, but not destroyed. It's in the wilderness I learned that everything is gonna be all right. Give God a shout right now. Tell somebody, you might be going through, but I declare you're coming out, and you're coming out with your hands full. You're gonna make
make it through this, just like you made it through that. If he did it before, he can do it again. My God will stand by you when all your friends forsake you, when all your family turn their back. In your wilderness, God will be not dismayed, whatever betide. God will. Tell somebody, God will. Help me preach, say, God will take care of you. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. I know he will. How do you know, Pastor? Because I've been through my wilderness, and I go through wilderness from time to time. Before you go to the next level of your life, you got to pass through the wilderness again. I know you've been through before, but you're about to go to a new level. So you're going to pass through the wilderness one more time. And I got good news for you, that if you feel like you're in a wilderness, rejoice. Because that means you're about to go to a next level. Just finish the cycle. Just finish your probation. Just finish your test. Count it all joy when you fall into divers tribulation. Yes! Tell your neighbor. Say neighbor. There in the wilderness, your testimony is being made. There in the wilderness, God is giving you material for your testimony. So when you come out on the other side and they're gonna say how you made it over, you're gonna say, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, where would I be? I would have died in the wilderness. I would have been lost in the wilderness. But out there in the wild, God stopped by, because he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. If you just hold on, if you just endure for a little while longer, tell somebody just a little while longer. Encourage two people, tell them just a little while longer, a little while, just a little while longer, just a little while longer. Weeping may endure for the night, but I heard the Bible say, joy, joy. These light afflictions, they are but for a moment, and they are working for me a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Get on your feet, get on your feet, get on your feet, get on your feet. You might feel like you're going through hard times right now, but you do like David did and encourage yourself in the Lord. Encourage yourself with what God said. Jesus said, let's pass over to the other side. And I don't care what kind of storm comes up in your life, if he said the other side, we're passing over to the other side. Tell somebody, we're passing over. We're passing over to the other side. On the other side of this, there's going to be glory. On the other side of this, there's going to be power. On the other side of this, there's going to be an anointing. On the other Pastor, I'm going to be in my ministry. I'm going to be in my calling. I'm going to be in my purpose. On the other side of this. It might feel lonely, but you're not alone. When my mother and father forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Somebody, I tell them, I know somehow. You found them, tell them, I know somehow. I know some way. You're gonna make it. Come on, encourage them. You're gonna make it. You made it through this. You made it through this. You'll make it through that. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, the Holy Ghost didn't bring you here to die. He brought you here to bring you out and take you where you're supposed to go. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't die right here. You're going to live to see it happen. You're going to live to see what God said. You're going to live to see his promise. You're going to live to see his word manifest in your life. You're going to live to see your miracle. You're going to live to see your breakthrough. You're going to live to walk in your ministry. You're going to live to walk in your calling. You're going to live to walk in your anointing. You're going to live to walk in your purpose. You're going to live to walk in your assignment. You're going to live to walk in your purpose. You'll live. Somebody's still shouting because they feel like, Pastor, I'm trying to figure out what's been going on. I'm trying to figure out what's been going on. It's the wilderness, baby. But it's not your end. It's not going to end there. It's not going to end there. Oh, Lord. You're in your proving ground. It's your proving ground. The trying of your faith works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Yeah.
Your faith is on trial. Your faith is on trial. I feel like I'm going through a trial. Now, it's not you. Your faith is on trial. And the trying of your faith works patience. And patience works experience. And experience works hope. And hope makes not ashamed. You ain't gonna be shamed. You won't get there. Lift those hands to God. Lift those hands to God. I want you to say something. I want you to say one of the most powerful words you'll ever say in your life. You ready for it? Are you ready for it? Say yes. One of the most powerful words you say in your life. It means, Lord, yes, yes to your will, yes to your way, yes, Lord, I'll go, yes, Lord, I'll go through, yes, Lord, I'll separate, yes, Lord, I'll consecrate, yes, Lord. Whatever you ask me, whatever you say, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. You know the song? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. From the bottom of my heart to the depths of my soul. Yes, Lord. Completely yes. Completely yes. My soul. My soul. Says yes. Yes, Lord. Come on, say it. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Come on, say it. From the bottom of to the depths of my soul. Yes, Lord. Completely. My soul, say it again, yes, Lord, come on, you got it, come on, yes, Lord, come on, praise team, yes, Lord, from the bottom, to the depths of my soul, oh, yes, Lord. Completely, yes, my soul says yes. Say it, come on, come on. Yes, Lord, from the bottom to the depths. Whoa, yes, Lord, completely, yes, my soul, oh, my soul, my soul. You know the verse? The verse of that song goes like this. Oh, not my will, Lord, but thine will be done. It's no more I, but it's Christ that lives inside. Oh, I give my everything to you. And I'm yielded completely through and through. Everybody say yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Come on, deacons, prepare the communion. Yes, Lord. From the bottom of my
heart
to the depths.
To the depths of
oh,
my.
say this, I love you.
I love you.
I love you, come on.
I love you.
From the bottom.
From the bottom of my heart.
To the depths.
To the depths of
ooh,
my
soul. I love you. I really do. I really do. Yeah.
My soul.
Can we say that one more time? I love you. If you love him, lift up voice and say, oh,
I love you. I love you.
From the bottom.
From the bottom of my heart.
Ooh.
The depths of my soul. I love you.
I really do.
I really do.
Oh, my soul.
My soul says
my soul says yes, my soul.
My soul says yes.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Jesus.
My soul says yes.
Listen, when you say yes, it's the most powerful word from human beings to Father God. Yes. God, whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to be, my answer will be yes. My answer is yes. Here's what happens. When you say yes, he then releases a strength to you, blessing and favor, and all you need requisite to do what you said yes to. So when you say yes, you're not going to be by yourself. When you say yes, you're not going to not make it. Did you catch that? You're not going to fail when you say yes. Because when you say yes, he comes alongside you. And he says, Jesus, Holy Ghost, angels, we found a yes. We found a yes. I've been searching the whole earth trying to find somebody whose heart is loyal to me. I want to show myself strong on their behalf. I just had to find a yes. And he says, I found a yes. How many of you, when God searches your heart, he finds a yes to him? You see a hand next to you? Do you see a hand raised next to you? Tell them that means you won't fail. You're not going to fail. I don't care what it looks like, and I don't care what it feels like. I don't care what bad news you're getting. I don't care what the report says. When you said yes, you became a success. When you said yes, you became a success. Now, Father, today, thank you so much for your people and their receptivity to the Word of God. I thank you for anointing me to preach and deliver the Word of God as you've given it to me. I pray that I've done it justice in your sight, Father, to share with your people that which you've given. I pray that this will not just be a time of just excitement and joy in this place. Because, God, when we all leave here, we're going to go back out into the world, into the reality of that wilderness. So I pray that your people will take this word and whatever words you've spoken, whatever promises you've made, you've given, that God, those words, your promises will sustain us and strengthen us in the midst of the coming battles in the days ahead. God, we're not going to be moved by what we see, moved by what we hear, or moved by what we feel. We're going to stand on the Word of God. You always cause us to triumph. You always give us the victory. So we expect to win, even in this situation, we expect to win.
Thank you, Father. Thank you for what you did in Jesus Christ and giving him to die on the cross for us. His very life proved that we can make it through the wilderness. His yes, his surrender to you proved that, God, if we do the same thing, you will keep us and bless us. We pray that as we receive now this, the Lord's Supper, which is a token of your love for us, proof of your love. Jesus Christ's body was broken for us. His blood was shed on Calvary's cross for us. We don't take this lightly. We receive it with thanksgiving and ask that, God, we receive all the blessings and benefits that come from this communion. Healing to our bodies. Minister to our bodies even now. In the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that those who receive today will know that we are victorious in all things through Jesus Christ our Lord. We bless you. We honor you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you just take your seats very quickly, our deacons are going to serve you. I want to encourage those of you who are watching us at home right now, in the hospital or at home or at work, that you grab something to drink, something, a little bread or whatever. What do you have? You can take communion at home right there where you are. You don't have to be left out. Don't be left out. Praise God. Thank you. Come on.
Thank you.
God for the blood of Jesus. Come on, think about that. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. The Bible says we've not been redeemed from this sin, from this world with corruptible things like silver and gold, but through the precious blood of Jesus. Our salvation costs something. It's free to us, but it costs Jesus everything he had. He died for our sins. He died and shed his own blood. Today, as we get ready to receive the Lord's Supper, let us not minimize the power of this blood. The Bible says, listen to this, that as a believer, to go off and begin to live in sin again is to trample on the blood of Jesus. To count it meaningless, to count it worthless. We don't want to do that. We want to live right and serve God and show Jesus Christ we appreciate the sacrifice he made for us. Before he went to the cross, he sat with his disciples, broke bread with them, fellowshiped with them, taught them things. They were sharing in the Passover celebration. He took bread, he broke it, and he said, "Take, eat, this is my body." So we ate the bread. That bread represents his body that's broken for us. Then he took that cup and said, "This is the new covenant, the new testament, the new agreement from heaven written in my own blood." He said, "Drink all of it." As often as you eat the bread, you drink the cup, you show forth the Lord's suffering and death until he comes again. And he is coming again for us. And I pray we'll all be ready. I pray we'll all be ready for his return. I pray you get your business straight, so we can all meet at the gate. I pray we'll all be ready when he returns. We used to sing a song back in the old days. Be ready when he comes. Oh, be ready when he comes. Oh, be ready when he comes. Oh, Lord, he's coming again so soon. Oh, be ready when he comes. Oh, be ready when he comes. Oh, he's coming.
Oh, be ready.
Be ready.
I'm talking to you. Come on.
Be ready when he comes. Oh, be ready.
Oh, yes, he's coming.
Oh, don't let him catch you with your works undone. Oh, don't let him catch you with your works undone. Don't let him catch you with your works undone. Oh, yes, he's coming.
Say your neighbor, come on.
Oh, don't let him catch you with your works undone. Oh, don't let him catch you with your oh, don't let him catch you with you. Oh, no, he's coming. I'm telling you, be ready when he comes. Oh, be ready. Oh, be ready. He's coming.
Today we're getting ready to close our service. Thank you for being a part of our service. I pray everybody in here is saved and ready for him to come back. He's coming back very soon. Jesus himself is coming back real soon. I said Jesus is coming back very soon. And I pray you're ready. Ask your neighbor, are you ready? Are you ready for his return? Are you ready to see his face? I want to see him in perfect peace. I don't want to be running and hiding when I see him. I want it to be when he cracks the sky, when I hear that trumpet sound, I'm excited, leaping off the ground, and I caught up to meet him in the air. You don't be left down here after Jesus returns. If you're in this room and you're not born again, you're not ready. I want to give you the chance to be born again today. There's nothing more important than being born again. If you're not saved, you're not part of the family of God, you're not ready. You're going to miss out when he comes. So if that's you, you say, Pastor, I want to be born again. I want to make sure I'm ready when he comes. Raise your hand. I want to pray for you. We want to pray for you. We want to get you saved today in this